Ryan Reshonk from TSN joins us. Shagar, how are you?
I'm doing good today, pal. How are you?
I am excellent.
Right on.
Do you know anything about the new Finnish goaltender of the Edmonton Oilers?
No, you know what? I don't really. Doesn't sound like he's an overly big guy. Played a little bit of the Western League from what I can see. But no, honestly, I can't say that I know a lot about him other than he's got a contract now and one more goaltender for the depth chart, I suppose. And I wonder what their American League goaltending scenario will look like next year. I think we know Laurent Brossoit will be there. I know they were hoping Matt O'Connor would be there, but he's not going to be. And so they've got a spot to fill. And I don't think they're going to go with like a veteran guy. It sounds like maybe they want to take some time and develop another young goalie. So maybe that's what the plan is with this guy.
Yeah, I don't expect him to be in Edmonton. I think this is a guy who battles with Laurent Brossoit in the American League.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's what they need to do. I mean, Brossoit has shown that he can be a good goalie for them at the American League level and that he's developing. So, like, it's kind of a tricky thing. What do you do with your goaltending in the minors? Because you have young players there that are developing in their first few years of pro hockey. Do you want to have young goalies developing in the minors as well? Or do you go out and get a veteran guy who's been around a while and pay him a bunch of money to play in the American League and solidify your goaltending so your young players can just play the game and not have to worry about that? And that's what the Oilers have been doing with Backman. But now with Brossoit likely taking over the starter's role, it looks like, you know, for his backup, they'll go with another young guy and try and develop another goalie in the system, which other teams choose not to do that. But some teams want to have two developing guys in the minors.
Yeah, you know, it's always a dilemma, but I think at some point, you know, you look at Richard Bachman and Laurent Brossoit played a lot of games this year. I don't think there's any reason to believe he can't play at least that many next year, if not more. And I really see that being the case, is they want to see, okay, how can he handle a 50-game load?
Totally. And that's what they need to find out from him, right? That's what they need to test him for next season. And, I mean, they're learning a lot through these playoffs and in this playoff run, and they're going to learn a lot next year as they put more of a load onto him. But they don't want to rush him, right? Goalies take a while, and there's nothing wrong with having him play 2-3 seasons in the minors where he's mainly the go-to guy down there. And there's nothing wrong with having a young guy, you know, that can is developing into it. And that's what the Oilers have. That's what teams want to have. I mean, like the Rangers, for example, they go a different route, right? They've got this kid named Mackenzie Skapski who plays a bunch in their system, but they have Jan Denis, who's an older guy who's been around, who is there, you know, played almost just as many games. He's 33 years old. So it's just about what the organization wants to do. And I think they have enough confidence in Brossoit to go with another young guy underneath them. They don't feel like they need him to mentor under anybody older.
The report today from Pierre LeBrun is that the Oilers have yet to ask for Detroit's permission to talk with Mike Babcock, which likely could be simply because Babcock's in Prague and Chiarelli's here, and they might just wait till he gets back, and then when he does, then they'll decide if they want to. Or some speculates because they've already made their mind up on Todd McClellan.
Well, but if you look at what LeBrun also reported today, he said the Oilers hope to have the coaching thing wrapped up by the end of the month.
Yeah.
So if he asked them for a timeline, and that's the timeline they gave him, that's plenty of time for them to deal with Mike Babcock, right? So there are those suggesting that it's pretty much wrapped up with Todd McClellan, and that really all that needs to happen is the World Championships need to end and they need to formally announce it, or that they're way down the path with McClellan. I can't help but think that they will do their due diligence with Babcock. I don't think they'll let this situation go where they don't even ask permission or have a conversation with the guy. I don't think that's going to happen. So when Pierre reported that timeline today, I thought, okay, well, if that's what they're telling him, or if that's what they're internally what they're working with, then they will have time to talk to Mike Babcock. And the fact that they haven't contacted him or haven't asked for permission yet is really not that big a deal. But I don't believe they'll go through this process without talking to Babcock at all. I'd be really surprised if Darryl Cates would allow that to happen.
I would be surprised also, which is why I think they haven't reached out, just because, and I think it was Gord Miller tweeting out that him and Babcock are riding on a train in Vienna together today, that, you know, you just wait until Babcock's back home and then you ask for the permission, right? We know that Buffalo has asked for the permission. We know that Toronto's already asked, Philadelphia, from what we understand as well. And San Jose seems to be kind of the quiet dark horse in all of this.
I don't think he'll go there. I really don't. I think you look at that team and what their core looks like. I think you've got nothing but troubles with Marleau and Thornton and their contract situations and their no trades being pitted in there. I don't know what the relationship is like with Doug Wilson, but I can't see Babcock going to San Jose into that situation. I don't see it. I mean, they've got some good young players, and, you know, Pavelski and Couture are good young players. They're good players anyways. They're not that young anymore, but I don't think that's a fit for Mike Babcock, to be totally frank with you.
I wouldn't disagree on that. I think San Jose goes with a younger coach, actually.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
or
I can see that
or
happening.
They well, there was a report that they spoke with Randy Carlyle, and you know, him and Doug Wilson go way back, so you never know. But I could see them you know, kind of going in a different direction. The one guy that you know, I'm curious about in all of this is Paul McLean, because I've heard rumblings that you know, he and the Oilers might have conversations as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, he, I mean, there's ties between him and the Detroit Red Wings. He's, I think, a pretty well-respected coach when you look at what he, you know, what he was able to do. I know that it was disappointing this year, but he's had his time where he's overachieved for a period of time with a group that he maybe pushed a little further than people thought he would be able to. So I don't think that he, I think he'll be in the league this year coming up. I think he's a well enough respected coach, and there's lots of openings. Now, whether he's the right fit or not for the Oilers, the one thing I heard about him is that he just didn't communicate well enough with his players, that there wasn't the level of coach-to-player communication that's maybe required with a certain type of player or a certain group, and that hurt him. And that would be a red flag for me. I think today's coach needs to be a communicator, and not soft, but he needs to be extremely good at communicating. And I think that's one of the things Todd Nelson was well respected for, is he was a really good communicator with his players. And I'd be hesitant to bring a player or a coach into this situation who maybe has a reputation for not being a great communicator. And I would put Randy Carlyle in that position as well.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, Tampa Bay, Montreal, very strange series. Three games at 2-1, two games at 6-2, with each team winning one. Now you've got Ryan Callahan out of the lineup with the emergency appendectomy. Jonathan Drouin's not even taking the warm-up, so he's not going to be the guy drawing in for the Bolts. Everything right now, and everything can change the minute the puck drops, but momentum sure seems to be on Montreal's side. Throw in the Callahan injury, that just adds to it.
Yeah, and you know, when I covered this series between these two teams last year, and I know how bitter the Lightning were. I mean, that was a crushing blow for them, and I mean, the storyline was their defense wasn't even close to good enough. Well, now they've reloaded and come back, and a much more well prepared team, a team with better players, more depth in scoring, better decor. They had some good adds and some good subtractions, frankly. They're way more equipped to take on this Montreal team this year, and that was evident early on in the series. Now, they've gotten in their own way here a little bit, and they've, of course, getting past Carey Price is always going to be difficult, but I think this year's Tampa team is so much better than last year's Tampa team, and I know that there's an extreme bitterness there from the way that series went last year. So I'm surprised that it's been allowed to go this far, and I would have thought the Lightning would have been able to wrap it up, and I tell you what, it goes back for game seven and all bets are off, man. I've been in that building for that situation, and that building is, I mean, it's like having an extra guy out there for the Montreal Canadiens. So Tampa's in some trouble. They better get this thing done tonight, because I don't see how they go into Montreal and win a game seven.
What do you think of the Ducks and the Blackhawks, and specifically James Wisniewski? He's not in the lineup at all for the Anaheim Ducks, right? The Ducks got three young defensemen whose contracts are up next season. They're all RFAs. Wisniewski's got 2 years left in his deal. I know he's a 5.5 cap hit. Would you, if you're the Edmonton owners, he's a right-hand shot defenseman. Is that a guy you would look at to get out of Anaheim at a reduced cost?
Yeah, I've never been a real big fan of James Wisniewski. And what does his cap hit look like? Sorry, I was trying to call it up while you were talking.
It's pretty
about
ugly.
It,
it's 5.5.
Yeah, I just don't know that that's the right player. I mean, I don't know. He's not a very big guy either, is he?
Yeah, I think he's listed at 5'11", 210 or something.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
like, he's stocky guy. I think he's 210.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't think that's what the Oilers necessarily need at this point. I mean, if I'm the Oilers right now, I'm looking for a big, strong, shutdown defenseman to play probably in their top four. I think that would be a priority over, and I mean, obviously you need a guy that can pass the puck, right? You want that. But I think they need a big physical presence on the back end. Darnell Nurse is coming, but they need somebody that's got some experience in the league that can play right now and can play big. I think that's lacking from their lineup. I think in watching the Calgary Flames play, it's so evident to me that they had too many guys like that between Diaz and Russell and Brody. And I mean, they have a bunch of guys that are like that, and it just doesn't help you win in the West. So I would steer clear of that type of guy, especially at a tough cap hit. Okay. What do you think?
Well, he intrigues me because, you know, it's a short-term thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a right-hand shot, which they don't have any in the organization. Right.
Yeah.
It would give you some flexibility that if was new, because I don't think you're going to like, to me, what Columbus gave up. Like, and remember, there was Rene Bork involved in that trade, you know, just a winger dead weight to get rid of some money. And then there was that Carlson kid and a pick right at the time.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you, the Ducks, when they made that trade, they thought, OK, this guy's going to play for us. But they've got Fowler and Lindholm and Vatanen and Dupre and Boschman. Like, they got to re-sign Boschman. I think they'd be willing to just give away James Wisniewski. Now, I know that's a big cap hit. Maybe you can get them to eat something. That to me, I would still take James Wisniewski, Shager, 1,000 times over Nikita Nikitin.
Oh, yeah, for sure I would too. And so if you're buying out Nikitin, or if you're somehow getting rid of him and you got spots to fill, then sure. But, you know, I'll tell you what, I would be putting money on the table for Francois Beauchemin way before I'd be looking at paying James Wisniewski that kind of money. I think Beauchemin plays the kind of game the Oilers need. He's a physical player who's respected, tons of experience in the league, and you're probably okay overpaying him a little bit because he's a hardworking guy that does things the right way. So, I mean, yeah, could he be a fit on one of the most poor blue lines in the league? Sure. Is he the right piece to put in place? I don't think so.
Yeah,
okay. I don't think he's the piece they need.
No, we just had a lot of guys bringing it up. It's in a worst case scenario, I would still take him at the in September when Anaheim has to dump him for nothing. Something because Edmonton has a lot of cap space right now, and they're going to free up $12 million between Purcell, Gordon, and Nikitin if they don't get rid of any of those guys next summer.
Yeah, and they'll have some room to play with for the next year for sure. They will. But again, I think there are players who are a better fit for what the Oilers need. Like, you don't have to give Francois Beauchemin a big, long deal. He's 35 years old right now, I think.
Yeah, you think he's going to leave Anaheim to come to Edmonton when they haven't made the playoffs in 9 years?
Yeah, you're right, but maybe he's, you never know, right? I mean, you never know what guys may or may not be willing to do. So I guess my point is that I think there's a couple of defensemen that are good, have good potential in free agency that I think fit the Oilers' need. I really like, I mean, Peter Chiarelli's going to have a really good relationship with Adam McQuaid, and I like the way Adam McQuaid plays the game. He's a big, strong, physical defenseman. He can move the puck a little bit too. He's got a really good shot. So, I mean, that to me, that's the guy right there that I'd be targeting if I were the Oilers. And if I were Chiarelli, that's the guy I would be targeting to come in. He probably is on a good team, he's a third-pairing defenseman, but he'd play on the Oilers' second pairing just fine. That's the kind of guy I think they need to add. And you'd be okay giving him a longer deal.
Have you looked, is there anyone, have you made a list of four defensemen the Oilers should target? When you look at trade, you know, teams on salary caps, like the New York Rangers, when I look at a team that's in some salary cap trouble, it's the New York Rangers. Then I look at their blue line and I'm like, okay, Mark Stahl has a no movement clause, right? Dan Girardi, Ryan McDonough, I don't think those guys are getting moved. I don't want Dan Boyle at 4.5 at his age, right? Yeah. Kevin Klein is maybe the interesting guy. He's only 30. I don't know if they want to get rid of him because, you know, the Keith Yandel's only, I think they're only paying half a salary at 2.625, right? Like, yeah. Defense is where they need to shed some money because they've got to sign, Ryan, they've got to sign Hagelin, Miller, and Steppen, and Marty St. Louis, and they've already got like $60 million or $62 million already committed to next season.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll do this a little bit closer to the draft. I haven't actually put together a list of what I think legitimate targets are, but you can kind of talk your way through it. I know what you're saying about the Rangers. The other thing, too, that's interesting that'll happen is in New Jersey, they'll start to turn things over a little bit. I mean, Shiro is going in to a situation where they're rebuilding. He is selling a rebuild. So you've got a guy like 32-year-old Andy Green there on a $5 million deal. You know, they've got Adam Larson there as well. He's a younger guy for sure, and he still has to prove himself as a full-time NHL player. But you never know who you might be able to squeeze out of a team that is rebuilding. Then you look at maybe a higher-end trade, and it would be much more of a hockey deal. But, you know, another early exit from the playoffs for the Nashville Predators. And I really start to wonder if they don't rethink things on the front end quite a bit. Now, they only have, if this is showing properly, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think they only have 5 legitimate forwards under contract for next year. They got a whole bunch of RFAs and a few unrestricted free agents.
Yep.
But I wonder what it would take to get them to move Seth Jones. And he's the guy that I pick because Shea Weber's not going anywhere. Roman Josi is one of the best value contracts in the entire NHL. Seth Jones is going to get money pretty similar to that here shortly. They've got Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, who they traded for. They've got some good defensemen and some more guys coming in the system. So if you were to offer them a piece that helped them up front, finally gave them more offense up front like they desperately need, I wonder what it would take to get Seth Jones out of there. And I'm sure the first thing they would say is Taylor Hall, and that would probably be a conversation stopper. I wonder, though, if another early first-round exit doesn't have them rethinking things a little bit. And, you know, what would it take to get Seth Jones out of Nashville in a deal involving Jordan Eberle, say? Now, this is just bigger hockey deal-type stuff that I'm kind of just blue-skying. But I think Seth Jones is a player that could be had out of Nashville, given what they need and what they have.
See, it's interesting to say that. I think the return for if they're going to make a major deal, then the guy to trade is Shea Weber because you're going to get way more back for him. And if you think Seth Jones is going to be that next guy, then you know, you could handle it more thinking, okay, we're going to trade Shea Weber and get a boatload back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, Weber would get a lot back. No question about it. He's not even 30 years old yet. I mean, he makes big money the next couple of years. I mean, he's 14, 12, 12 million, like big money on his deal. But yeah, you would get a lot back for him, but you still got to sell tickets. It's the heart of your franchise. He's everything to them. That would be akin to the Oilers trading, you know, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins or you know, this first overall. But like, you just don't. He's a really important player for them. So yeah, I agree with you. It probably gets them more. But you know, what's even better than getting a lot for Shea Weber is having Shea Weber. And that's why I think they have enough. Between Roman Josi and Shea Weber, that's one of the best top pairings in the game. I think Seth Jones could be the guy that would be deemed movable there, but they would need a lot back in return.
It will be interesting to see what happens. We're going to do in June, we're going to have different days. We're going to break down different teams and realistic possibilities. So, Shogger,
yeah, dig into it.
Who are you picking tonight in Game 6?
I'm going to say the Habs push it to a 7th game. Oh. I have a tough time. They got momentum on their side. They got the Lightning reeling. The Lightning lineup is a little bit depleted, and they're going to be nervous. I'm going to say we got a Game 7, and then Montreal wins it.
I went with you tonight as well. I'm picking the Habs. I love Game 7s. I could have them in back-to-back days. All right, Ryan, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, pal. Take care.